Come on, let's pray together. Merciful God, our loving Father, we thank you. And God, we recognize that in this present age in which we live, when there is so much information that moves so quickly, we have email messages, text messages, Instagram, Twitter, but we need a message from you. The writer declared long before there was the internet, Twitter, or Facebook, they asked this question, and it is a question that is valid even today. Is there a word from the Lord? Is there any hope for us? Is there any encouragement? Is there any benefit even to listening? There is a word from the Lord. There is hope. There is great benefit. The Bible declares that he that hath an ear, let him hear. The Lord is saying to the church, to each individual, each deacon and each trustee and every preacher, every choir disciple, every usher, to all of us and any of us, he desires your ear. And then the Lord himself declared, in the day that you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Let us be receptive to the word of God and respond and then live responsibly. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we do pray. You would open our eyes and our ears, make our hearts rich and fertile ground. God, let these words of life change our lives. For Lord, as we entered, we don't want to be the same when we leave. For we do declare that we want old things to pass away and all things to become new. Oh God, lift us higher and even higher, that we might see the greater good, rich and fertile land that lies before us. So God, indeed, when we have fixed our hands to the plow, we won't look back. And in the words of the writer, I've come too far to turn around now, and I don't feel no ways tired. I'm just pressing on the upward way. So, Father, would you lead and guide us by the hand? Don't let our feet stray. Take us further. And, God, please forgive us of our sins. And we simply say, Lord, have mercy. Cleanse us, we pray. And, God, when you have done all that we know that you do so well, we will be mindful, never careful. Give you all the praise and the glory. We'll shout like we've lost our minds because we now have the mind of Christ. In Jesus' name. The church said amen, amen, and amen. Come on, put your hands together and bless the Lord. Come on, the writer said, I will bless the Lord. Not sometime, not when it's convenient. But I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Look at your pew partner and tell him, I need a praise partner. I need somebody to help me lift him up. Come on and help me lift him up. Come on and help me lift him up. Can you lift him higher? Hallelujah. I will bless the Lord. It doesn't matter how my back feels.
It doesn't matter how my bills are past due. It doesn't matter who don't like me. It doesn't matter who looks at me. I will bless the Lord. He's been good to me. He's been good to me. Hallelujah. 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 Bless his holy name. Amen. God bless you. Would you grab your Bibles? Don't let go of your praise, but grab your Bibles.
Yes, sir.
The book of Ephesians chapter 4. Just want to lift up a few things and we'll be on our merry way. Ephesians chapter 4. And I have a New Living Translation Bible, and I pray that you'll join me with your preferred version, with your apps and your iPhones and iPads and Galaxy and Tab, Amazon, Fire, Kindle. You know, with all that stuff out there, ain't no reason we don't have the Word. Amen. There's just too many things out there. Isn't that something? And you can look fancy with your Apple and iPhone and 6 and 5 and Galaxy and all that stuff. You can look, just pull it. Some of y'all got them little fancy cases with pearls and diamonds and all that. No reason not to come with your Bible anymore. Amen. I know these old big Bibles are not fashion. I know I don't look fancy like some of y'all with your iPhones and pads and stuff. But you can sure enough show that you love the Lord with your applications.
Yeah,
amen. Some look, oh, it's old school. You know, I'm looking around the room, Deacon Davis, and I noticed something. All of us 1960 and back folk got Bibles. All of them 80s and 90 folk got instruments of electronic measures. When the Lord comes and they battery run down, we going to be all right. When y'all can't find a charging station, we going to keep ours high and lifted up. When the Lord say, turn to Ephesians 4 and y'all battery dead, we're going to say, Lord, I'm with you. What if Jesus come with an iPad? We're going to all be. He said, I am the charge. He said, when my battery run down, I just plug into me. Amen. Because he's the power. Amen. Ephesians 4. Begin at verse 17. This is what the New Living Translation offers us today from the Word of God. It says, with the Lord's authority, let me say this, live no longer as the ungodly do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their closed minds are full of darkness. They are far away from the life of God because they have shut their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They don't care anymore about right and wrong, and they have given themselves over to immoral ways. Their lives are filled with all kinds of impurity and greed. But that isn't what you were taught when you learned about Christ. Since you have learned all about him and have learned the truth that is in Jesus, throw off your old evil nature and your former way of life, which is rotten through and through, full of lust and deception. Instead, say instead.
Instead.
That wasn't everybody. Instead. There must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitudes. You must display a new nature because you are a new person, created in God's likeness. Righteous, say that with me, righteous, holy, and true. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I've got to do better. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the awesome presence of God. I am, again, as I mentioned just briefly a moment ago, I'm a child of the 60s. And I began my public education in Duval County in the school called Richard Lewis Brown, R.L. Brown Elementary on the east side of Jacksonville, Florida. And I remember when I went to school in the first grade, I will remember it, I guess, as long as my mind and my faculties are sharp. My grandmother looked at me and said, baby,
Whatever you do, do your best. She said, that's all we can ask of you. When I was in the second grade, we moved to the deluxe apartment in the sky. We moved to the other side of town. My parents bought a brick house with 3 bedrooms, and we were some kind of somebodies. I went to Grand Park Elementary School, school number 14 in Duval County, second grade, and as was the tradition being established, every year when I got ready to go to school, Grandmama would give us sound advice. And every year she said the same thing, baby, do your best. That's all we can ask of you. Throughout my life, I have been encouraged by people who cared about me and people who thought to wish me well. And all they have ever asked of me is that I do my best. They never told me what place I had to come in. They never told me that I had to keep the standards or tradition of the family or some reputation of matter. They simply wanted me to do my best. And I did. I tried hard. I am thankful to God that I have achieved some things in life, and as have you. But I would venture to say to you that this could perhaps be one of the easiest ministry tools that we can ever employ in the church. And that is to simply look at each other and encourage each other to do your best. The title of the sermon being, I've Got to Do Better, is indeed intended to be a follow-up from last week when I said to you that you're too blessed not to be better. I'm convinced of God that too many of us have the mindset of mediocrity. Too many of us, especially when it comes to the things of God, because the evidence is clear. I look around the room on a given Sunday or a given Thursday, a given Wednesday, or a given opportunity of ministry, and we are not exampling to the world nor to God that we are doing our best. Some of you have very competitive spirits because I have engaged you in conversation. I have watched you engage in activities. Some of you, I have listened to your stories, your testimonies, your embellishments as to how great and wonderful your life has been. I have listened to you speak of how you became the senior supervisor or how you got to the position that you are in life. And I have heard the enthusiasm of your voice, and I've seen the energy. Most of us are very handsy when we're excited about things. We use our hands and our body gets involved, and there are energies that come off of us. I've seen that in most of you that I have engaged. But when it comes to God, a whole lot of y'all are muted in your body language. You do not speak the same. You don't have the same handsy energy. You don't seem excited about the things of God. You seem a little tired. You seem a little run down. You seem a little disconnected. You seem lost. But I am here to tell you, you've got to do better. If in fact Paul is right, and I believe Paul is right, he suggests to us right off the bat, Deacon Walker, that we've got to learn how to live without duplicity. Sandra, did you notice me throw that fancy word there? Duplicity. In other words, he's saying to us right off the bat, right into the conversation, you can't live ungodly. Amen. You got to do better. How many of you remember, and you don't have to raise your hand, you just kind of wink at me from a distance. I can see you. Give me a little sign or something. But how many of you remember when you used to live ungodly? Come on. Say, ain't no hollering going on. I thank you. Some of y'all are honest. Some of y'all hands were way up too high for a camera to be in here. I want to tell you that now. You understand, beloved of God, that it is, in fact, important in the 2015 church that we address ungodly living. I don't know who told you, but this ain't no truth. Ain't nothing but a lie from the pits of hell that as long as you go to church, that's enough. No, that ain't going to do it, because we have all lot of ungodly folk that go to church.
And the church said,
amen.
Yeah. Paul says it's important for us to recognize that we've got to do something of our own. We've got to take it upon ourselves to live by principle. And in order to live by principle, Sister Wanda, I believe you got to have some practice. And so he says to them, he says, you know, you used to be like that, but you can't live like that no more. He reminds them that their used to be's cannot be a part of their right now's. How many of you know people who are struggling with that? People who are struggling with the fact that their used to be's take up too much of their right now's. Say amen, somebody. We call it habits, proclivities, vices, but your used to be's can't take up too much of your right now. Your used to be's can be a part of your testimony, but it cannot be the very thing that keeps you from living a life of triumph. Many of us lose because we cheat ourselves. Y'all ain't talking to me now. I'm telling you now that Paul says that what you must understand, here it is now. We're going to start running on fast as we can, Brother Jesse. But here's the problem. Paul says that our real life in Christ Jesus is not about relationship to the church, but relationship to Christ. All right, see, some of y'all mad already, but I'm telling you now that many of us are cheating ourselves. If you think that where you sit in the church makes you holy, or the title we gave you, or some recognition that's due you makes you a real good saint, you have lost your mind. If, in fact, you don't walk with him and talk with him along that narrow way, if, in fact, he's not the first priority in your life, if you're not lifting up and magnifying Jesus, if it's all about you, you have lost your mind. Because Paul puts us on point by saying, you brought nothing in the world and you will carry nothing out. But how many know that with God, it's not the baggage, it's the blessing. Because God says, when you get here, I got you. Yeah, all things are stored up for us. Paul says, you please understand that the real relationship is in Christ. And then he says to them that this is, again, Dr. Dixon, this may be the part that's most difficult, demanding, and damaging, is that our relationships are too varied to spread out. He's saying you got to stay away from worldly people. This is the hard part here, Deacon Davis. Nobody's going to say amen. But the problem for many of us is we've got too many contacts in the world. I appreciate the five of y'all that could muster up the strength to help the preacher. But the truth of the matter is you don't spend but so much time with God in the church. So if your whole life relationship is based on church, you don't have much life. There are 168 hours in the week. We'll probably spend about 4 hours in the church. And so if your relationship is based on church, you only got a 4-hour relationship. But if, in fact, your relationship is based on Christ, who is your all in all and your everything, you got a pretty well-rounded life. Paul says to them, he said, listen, you got to stay away from people who have closed minds and live in darkness. You got to be careful about investing in covert relationships. Mm-hmm. Some of y'all have gone to looking out the windows. You can't see out those windows. They're stained. You understand that what he's saying, Elizabeth, is that the reality for us is we cannot allow the world to destroy us when our assignment is to develop the world. Our ministry is not in the church alone. Our ministry is not necessarily to each other, but it's to the world. And so Paul says, well, please understand that it is difficult, demanding, and can be somewhat damaging. He said, but you have the divine tools to get it done. Nudge your neighbor and say, we can do this. As encouragement, I want to offer you that the fact of the matter is that those of us who understand what it means to be truly saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, understand that the blessed assurance is not just a song. I almost laughed, but I was trying not to laugh. But it's not just a song. You're not going to sing your way to good salvation life. You're not going to sing your way to holiness and righteousness. I mean, you can sing if you want to. But the fact of the matter is, what he says to us is that if, in fact, we understand the sacrifice and certainty of Christ's offering at Calvary, it will inspire us and invoke us to a different lifestyle. In other words, when we look at Christ and understand that we're not just a part of a building, but we're a part of a body. Y'all missed that. We're part of the body of Christ. And so when he reminds us of this, you have to notice what Paul also tells them is critical in the Roman letter. He says to them, Deacon Walker, he said, you do know that you are as sheep to the slaughter. Yeah, you are designed. Y'all getting quiet, and I'm trying to hurry along through here. But he says you are designed for sacrifice. Now you're leaving me because you would rather think you're designed to be selfish. You think it's really about you. It ain't about you. You can't save nobody. You can't do nothing that God don't let you do. But you are designed for sacrifice. That's why, Sister Anderson, Jesus had no problem with his assignment. That's why Jesus could say things like, I must go. Jesus could say things like, I've said none other than what my daddy told me to say. Jesus could do things that they said you shouldn't do. He would go places they told him he shouldn't go. He stood when they told him he should run because he understood that he was designed for sacrifice. Most of us don't understand that even though we are designed for sacrifice, we have been given safe haven. How do you say that, Pastor? Because the Bible said that you're more than a conqueror. Listen, how many of you realize that sometimes losing is a setup to win? Oh, y'all missed that. Listen, you didn't always get the job, but you're working anyhow. You didn't always come out on top, but you're doing fairly well. It's a point in life when you realize that even though it seems like you are the loser, you can still be the winner. Say amen, somebody. Let me see if I can get a few of y'all to testify very quickly. How many of you are willing to admit that there were times when God said no, and it was the best thing he could have said to you? That there were things that God refused you that really have blessed you. Am I right about it? And so he reminds us, he said, listen, you're more than a conqueror. Why? Because he loves you. Yeah, and then he said this. He said, let me help you. And I want to hurry along through here, but let me put you on notice, brothers and sisters, and I know you're not going to like this, but even in the world that we are as Christians, even as we are in the body of Christ, we've still got to deal with temptation and defilement. Oh, yes. Listen, there's no business like church business, like no business I know. But even as the elect of God, we are still going to be faced with temptation. Even as the elect of God, we're going to mess up some things. Okay, y'all too quiet, so let me go deep on this one. This is one everybody remembers. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody done. Look around the room and you can find the usual suspects and even those who camouflage themselves. Well, listen, some of us know how to keep our name out the paper. Some of us know not to send anything over the internet. Some of us know not to leave no trace evidence. But the fact of the matter is, the only difference between you and other folk is they got caught and you didn't. Am I right about it? So he reminds us, he said, listen, you're sheep to the slaughter and all have sinned. And I know, brothers and sisters, you can shout your way through the rest of the text. But the fact of the matter is, all of us ought to say amen for the grace of God. So Paul says, you've got to do better. So here it is. He said, listen, please understand, beloved of God. He said, when I say that you've got to throw off some things and you've got to let some things go, he said, the practical thing that I'm trying to get you to understand is it's your participation in the divine that's going to make the difference. All right. Here it is. Paul says that you have not been taught like that. You didn't learn it that way. Well, Mary, I'll park along here and turn my four-way zone because here's what I've discovered, that sometimes in the church, we assume too much. Yeah. Let me go ahead and put my pastoral guilt out there. I'm guilty of it because sometimes in the church, we just assume that folk are really serious about salvation. We assume that because people show up with us that they're really saved. And we don't know how to test that. We don't know, because the Bible warns us not to get too involved in trying to screen. You know, the Lord tells us, let the wheat and tare grow up together and he'll separate them. I'm saying, Lord, hurry up and separate something. Because we have this mentality that really baffles us, because we think that people who clap like us and sway like us and dress like us and show up like us are really interested in true salvation. But no. Paul says we need to be able to define the difference. So he says what we discover is those who have not thrown off their evil nature and not gotten rid of their former way of life are still rotten. So he said to them, he said, listen, you've got to be better. You've got to make up your mind to live differently. In verse 19, he said this, Lewis, he said, they don't care. Don't make them no difference. And most people, beloved of God, if you press them, that's going to be their instant reply. I don't care. Don't make me no difference. Well, see, that's the giveaway. And what we do oftentimes is when people do give us the absolute evidence that they're not in Christ, we tend to blow it off for the sake of inconvenience. We figure, well, we'll just let them go. They're having a bad day. They didn't really mean that. They just said that because they were frustrated. No, they said that because that's the truth. And so Paul said, listen, you've got to do better. You've got to find a way that you can really live your life as lights. And because you have salt already at your disposal, you've got to learn that Christ requires, amen, that's the word right there, Christ requires. See, we tend to want to address ourselves based on human standard and condition, and because our frustration is the pastor wants too much, the pastor requires too much, and the pastor ain't, no, this is what Christ requires. Amen. You ought to be able to look at your neighbor and tell them that's what Christ requires. You know, this is not what we voted on at the last church conference. This is not some theme or some moment in time, and then we're going to relent from it. And see, that's what we do in the church. You know, we go in our hot seasons. You know, we get to the point where around resurrection week, we start feeling a little holy and high. You know, we do Lent. You know, some of us, not the kind in your pocket, but Lent, when you're going to give up some things, you know, you say, well, for Lent, I'm not going to smoke, and I'm not going to drink, and I'm not going to cuss, and I'm not going to eat fried chicken. You know, I'm going, you know, okay. And then soon as Lent over, you go kill six chickens, you drink a gallon of milk, you know, all that. No, I'm not talking about that superficial stuff. And I'll tell you something right now. See, some of y'all rolling y'all eyes and got attitude with me, but I'm telling you right now, I got Bible. I'm right about this. Some of us are so superficial that we can't fool ourselves. That's why people get attitudes in church and fold up their arms, because you can't fool yourself. You can't get through 30 minutes of preaching and pretend it means something to you, because as soon as the rock came down your aisle and hit you in the head, instead of you saying, ouch, amen, help me, Jesus, you go, oh, there he go again. I don't come here for this. No, this is what you need. Because in order for us to get better, we got to hear something better. Amen. You got to get out of living room Baptist church and sit around when you come to church every now and then. You don't eat every now and then. You don't breathe God's air every now and then. He don't let your heart beat every now and then. Oh, the disconnect is going along well now. But if in fact God has been faithful to you, how dare it be difficult for you to be faithful unto him? You're too blessed not to be doing better. Paul said, you got to come along. He said, I'm not talking about just dressing better and driving better and singing better. I'm talking about a better kind of better. Amen. I know, Sir Scott, that's a problem when you say better kind of better. But that's really what he's saying. He said, listen, you got to be a better version of better. And the better version of better is sanctified living. I'm not talking about no church where all the ladies wear white and got them kind of stocking where you roll them up kind. I'm not talking about no sanctified church where all we got is tambourine, everybody jumping and flipping. I'm talking about a lifestyle. I'm not talking about something to impress people. I'm not talking about going to the convention and getting in the line and falling on the floor and pouring oil all over everybody. I'm talking about every day of your life. You got to do better. No reason you can't do better. Paul says, well, here's the problem. True Christian life require that you be radically different. Radically different. Too many camouflage, covert Christians. Too many undercover brothers. Not that kind of undercover. The church kind. Y'all went too far with that one. Now, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about too many people who dress the part. But you ain't living like nothing. We got to be radical. See, y'all quiet. Y'all too quiet. We got to be radically different. We can't just pray at Thanksgiving dinner. We can't just give when we get our income tax check. We got to be radically different. We got to speak to each other in psalms and hymns and see look people look at me. I don't know none of them. Bible says that we ought to speak as oracles of God. That's radically different. Stood still, surrendered, and submitted to God, and then straight. You know, we've had it happen here. Folk come down the aisle one Sunday, we don't see them for 6 months. He said, you know, you got to be different. We have a responsibility to witness for Christ in our whole life. What are you saying, Pastor? Radically different. You can't just turn it on and turn it off. Some of us, one Sunday, we can't get you off the ceiling. You're so high and lifted up. And the next Sunday, we got to pry you off the bench to get you just to say amen. Paul said that the responsibility that we have, I'm best about finished, then you go on about your business. He said we have a responsibility to witness for Christ. We are the righteousness of Christ. And he said this is the kick. He said, you got to walk in purity and not let the world defile you. How many of you have ever wore a white outfit? Y'all do know we make clothes. You know, you wear white, man, you gotta watch everything you do when you got on white. You know, when you got on white, you got to go put a white sheet or towel on your seat before you get in your car. You know, when you get out, you got to swing your legs away from the little threshold thing and all. When you wear white, you got to be careful. You wear white, you can't stand close to people. You can't let people sneeze on you when you're wearing white. That's how you got to live in Christ Jesus. Not so much so that you can engage, but you got to be careful. Purity. And I'm not talking about that after September white. I'm talking about that white that you get down with white. Not off-white, but white. The kind that Mary had a little lamb is fleece. You know, that kind of white. And Paul says, we got to not let the world defile us. Paul said the new converts should now live with the stages that we've talked about in our pillars. We must live with emancipated lives, empowered lives, enlightened lives, endearing lives. You know, I don't want to take up much more of your time. He said, but those are the qualities that we should have. He said, and we should be the experience, an example to the world. When Peter and John said to that man, look on us, they had nothing to hide. They understood that what they had become in Christ could be translated and revealed to the world, and they didn't have to hide it. If I were to ask you the question, how many folk know where you are right now? People call your house at this time of the day. How many people know not to call your house at this time of day? Somebody looked over and said, I need to call Sandra. Said, oh, shoot, Sandra in church. She ain't home yet. And by 2 o'clock, they said, well, she go to Brookville. They still ain't home yet. But the reality is, I'm about finished now. I'm going to leave you alone. He said, listen, there are 3 things you need to look out for. And these 3 things are going to help you. He said, first of all, you need to be mindful of those who have been seduced. He said, their minds are dark because they believe in lies and they have not received truth. Seduction is dangerous. He said, you look out for them kind of people. And listen, beloved of God, it doesn't take a degree in theology to find them. He said, you look out for those kind of people. He said, because their mind is black and they believe in lies. Anything will get them motivated and they don't know what the truth is. Secondly, he said, you got to look out for those who are spiritually dead. They have no hope, they have no heart, and no hallelujah. They're dead. And Jesus says, there's a simple thing to do with the dead.
bury him. And he said, don't you get your hand dirty doing it. Let other dead folk bury the dead. Y'all ain't shouting back at me. He said, you got to look out. He said, listen, they have lost it. But they didn't lose it because it was stolen. They chose to live like that. And then he said, number three, the test that you look out for, Lewis, he says, they have been submissive to sin. And what he's saying is they've surrendered. They don't even fight anymore. They don't even try. How many of you know people like that? Don't raise your hand. He said, listen, they're submissive to it. They have decided to live like that. All the moral corruption in the world, you got to fight, baby. You can't just give in. He's not saying that you won't have your moments. He said, because, in fact, we do know that folk going to have a moment. In fact, Paul helps us understand that he had a moment. He said, I was given a thorn to buffet me, something to keep me in a place that I really didn't want to be. How many of you got a thorn? I'm waiting on everybody else who ain't said nothing yet. Paul said, it was given to me. He said, I didn't ask for it. I didn't do anything. It was given to me. He said, but one thing I did, I kept reading. He said, I kept on reading. And then I heard God say the best thing God could have said to me, that his grace was sufficient. He didn't say that the committee would forgive me. He didn't say they were going to let me off. He didn't say they were going to do. He said, but he said to me. And Paul reminds us, he said, well, you do understand that the good church folk need to know this, that the old self must be crucified. I'll run along here. He said, because it is by faith that we reckon this to be true. And he said that if you don't put off the old man, it's not going to leave you. How many know that if you don't get rid of something, they're going to always be there? He said, but you've got to put it off. And then this is what he said. I'm going to hurry along now. He said, but he said, I do understand that God has done his part. God has already done what he needed to do for us. You all believe and know John 3:16, where the Bible declares, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But here it is, Rudy. This is where the dynamic changes. He said, and whoever believes in him, whoever has made up their mind, as the old folk would say in the church I grew up in, my heart is fixed and my mind is made up. They said to me then that they have chosen to follow him. And so the Bible said that God has already done his part. And so indeed what remains is for us who believe. For those of us who say we got our hand in the winding chain, to have changed our clothes. Can I give you an illustration and I'll be done with you? The Bible said that when Jesus came back to the grave where Lazarus was. Y'all remember Lazarus? The Bible said when Jesus came and stood before the grave, called out Lazarus' name. The old preachers would say that the reason Jesus called his name, if the Lord had simply said, come forth, then all the dead folk would have got up. And I tell you now, some folk that died need to stay dead. But in fact, when he calls Lazarus' name and Lazarus comes forth, Jesus demonstrates for us what Paul is saying to us. That when you come from a dead situation, you need to change your clothes. Y'all ain't talking to me. Because when he comes, he said, loose him and take off the grave clothes. Look at your neighbor's neighbor. How's your wardrobe situation? Because the Lord said that if you're going to come out of a dead situation, you need to be loosed and change your clothes. That's why I believe the Bible said that we can walk in the newness of life. I'm thankful to God that when I took off my grave clothes, that God gave me my grace clothes. Look at your name and say, I got new clothes now. I'm convinced of God that when we put on new clothes, y'all ain't got to say nothing. I can go by myself from here, but I know how folk get when they put on new clothes. I know how folk get when they get a new car. I know how folk get tashim when they get new money. In fact, they made a little church saying, they say, people show act funny when they get a little money. Yes, they do, y'all. And the fact of the matter is, a whole lot of us that are sitting in the house of God on this day are dressed in the wrong clothes. Too many of us are sitting around smelling up the place. Too many of us are sitting around trying to hold on to old lifestyles. When in fact, if you've been saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, you need to change your clothes. You need to look at your name and say, excuse me, neighbor, but I've got a wardrobe malfunction. I realize now that what I'm wearing is not suitable to serve the God of my salvation. What I'm wearing now is not suitable for the kind of life I want to live. You know how it is when you have an after five event. Have you ever been to an after five event when somebody shows up in the wrong clothes? An after five event requires a tuxedo and certain finery, and somebody walks in a pantsuit. You nudge your friend, your girlfriend, your friend girl, and say, now look at that. She know good and well it was after five. And here she comes in here with a pantsuit on. She don't know how to dress for the occasion. Or maybe some fellow comes in and has on a regular necktie instead of the bow tie. You cannot wear a necktie to an after five event, fellas. You got to put on the bow tie. And if you can't tie the bow tie, you can get the kind with the little strap behind it. But when you in that kind of arena, you got to wear the right clothes. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't be a wardrobe malfunction. Go ahead and give God the glory. Come on up out of the grave and change your clothes. Come on and put on the new man. Let the old man pass away and let the new man come to life. Let the old man die and let the new man live. Let the old man go down and the new man shall rise. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, the Bible says that we shall all be changed, but in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that the dead in Christ shall rise. Look at your name and I'm going to need some room here. I feel my rise coming because I am a new creation. The old things have passed away and God has made all things new. I'm going to change my walk. I'm going to change my witness. I'm going to change my work. I'm going to change my song. I'm going to change my status because the Lord I serve has picked me up and turned me around. Won't God turn you around? Is there anybody here that feels like coming up? Anybody here that feels like going higher? Is there anybody here that feels your joy bell ringing? Anybody here feel like standing up and giving God the praise? He walks with me. He talks with me. He saved me. And because he lives, I can face my tomorrows. Ain't God all right? Ain't God all right? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I've got to do better. I got to sing better. I got to serve better. I got to stand better. I got to fight better. I got to have better faith, better joy, better hope, better peace. Say better. Say better. Say better, better. Better, better. Gooder and gooder. Ain't God all right? He died. He died. But early, early that Sunday morning, it got better. Because when he got up, he picked me up. When he came out, he brought me out. Didn't he do it? Didn't he do it? Say yeah. Say yeah. One more better. Look at your name. Say, neighbor, I feel better. So much better since I laid. I feel better, so much better, since I laid my burden down. Won't he do it? Can he do it? Did he do it? Say yeah. Say ah. Yeah.
I gotta do better.
Yes, sir. After all he's done for me, I got to do better. I can't live like I used to live. I can't hang around the folk I used to hang around. No. There's an old song they used to sing in the church says, if you miss me from singing down here and you can't find me nowhere, come on up. Round glory.
Yeah.
But see, I ain't quite ready. I know Sister Scott can't say I ain't. But I was caught up in the moment. But see, I'm not quite ready to go to glory yet. I still got some work to do.
Come on.
And I don't want the Lord to catch me with my work undone.
Amen.
I promised him a vision, church. So I'm going to keep working. But my point is, if I hang around deadbeat folk, they're going to make me a deadbeat.
Yes, sir.
If I hang around lazy folk, they're going to encourage me to be lazy. And so I gotta do like Patti LaBelle. Deaconess LaBelle says she was feeling good from her head to her shoes because she had a new attitude. See, some of y'all got a bad attitude. But I'm invoking a new attitude. I got to do better. I got to do better because I recognize that great is the Lord and great is he within me. God has never been about mediocrity. God has never been about settling. I got to do better. And here's why we got one more week coming, Palm Sunday coming, but I got to get the next part of this out. But let me tell you something. Here's an indicator of things to come. I'm going to show you the five easy steps to being better. Amen. Can I give you a coming attraction? I wrote the sermon already, Coach Palmer. The first thing you're going to have to do is understand your new position. That's going to preach real good. The second thing, Wanda, you're going to have to do is take a new path. And you got to quit going the way you used to go. The third thing you have to do is start to recognize your own potential. See, I got it in my head already. The fourth step you have to do is understand that you have a new power. And the fifth thing, which is the shout part, Brother Addison, that you get to go to paradise. Yeah, you don't understand. What we're doing here not about impressing the deacon board or the pastor. This about getting into paradise. I got him. I already told that five. You can say, when I come next week, you can say, yeah, he right. That's what he said. You got to understand. You see, let me tell you something. I got to let y'all go. Too many of y'all like your old position. See, you the one that hosts the Big Whiz parties. You make the tuna salad and all them little four corner sandwiches, and your house is the place. See, you like that. See, I can see the look on your face. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. You like your old position. You like being the mix master. You know, you got folk drinking stuff. They don't even know if they drinking. They just trust you like that. They come to your house and you pouring stuff, and they say, now, ooh, you hooking us up tonight. You like your position. You carry sway with the crew. And see, you're afraid when you get in the church, you ain't going to have no position. But can I tell you, we got a lot of vacancies. There are a lot of positions in the church that are of noble character. Second thing, you like your pathways. Some of y'all drive the same way to work, same way home, same way everywhere. You've become familiar. But the Bible says, and I like the Bible says, that God will be a light unto your path and a lamp. He said, you're going to have to start going some new ways. See, Pastor, don't make us think like this. Yes, you like it because you're familiar. But can I tell you, you weren't always familiar. You became familiar. Why would you get to the house of God and not take the same adventure? Learn a new way. David, come here. David says that yea, though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death, I fear nobody wants to walk there. But David understood that his confidence in Christ would keep him even in a bad place. Some of you don't understand your own potential. You sit around and you love mediocrity. That's why in your workstation, new faces keep coming and going, but you remain. You see the new hire that you train get promoted ahead of you because you like mediocrity. And then you go in there and complain to HR, y'all promoting people over me. You ain't doing nothing. Oh, yeah, you're good at what you do, but you don't do any more than what you do. And the same thing applies in the church. Y'all don't want to say amen. I'm giving up too much of next week's sermon, but that happens in the church. You leave a church because you said they wouldn't let you exercise your gifts and they wouldn't use your talent. And then you get over here and sit six pews from the back of the church. And every time we ask somebody to do something, you fold your arms and look around for somebody else to amen. You be your own amen. And then got nervous saying, I promised him that I would serve him till I die. Hey, you know what I'm saying? You got to do better. So, Scott, please plug up your ears. Sandra, educators, plug up your ears. You're too good to be that bad. I know that one's a bad one, but that's just, you know, you're too good to be that bad. Look at your neighbor. Don't say nothing. Just look at him. Mm-hmm. You know the look. If they're looking at you smiling or shaking their head, you know what it means. Some of y'all are going to get right to that top step and say, he got you today. I ain't say nothing. He told me to look. I just look. It just happened to be you. Let's stand on our feet. Got to let y'all go. Paul says, you cannot be seduced. You can't be spiritually dead. And you cannot be submissive to sin if you're going to do better. See, again, beloved of God, I'm just trying to help you because a lot of times we come to church, we want somebody to hoop us up. And we got no substance to the sermon whatsoever. All we remember is, man, he was hooping. No, you need the substance. My pastor told me that good meat make his own gravy. You need a good sound so you can say, man, he made me think a minute. If the sermon don't make you think, it ain't much to it. You really need to be sitting there. And I will tell you now that there are portions of the preaching that ought to make you mad. Now, you ain't have to say amen that loud, but that sounds like to me somebody want to meet me outside. But I'm saying, even when I'm writing it, Coach Palmer, I look at myself. I have to stop sometimes and say, now, can you in integrity stand up there and say that? Or do you need to do something? I spent a whole lot of time with the Lord saying, Lord, I'm sorry, but I got to write what you just told me to write. It convicts me. If it won't convict me, I can't convince you. I ain't perfect. I tell you that right now. Glad y'all didn't say amen real loud. But the fact of the matter is, listen, the old self, you got to put it off. You can't be running around with the old self in your back pocket as a standby in case this church thing don't work out. I'm just going back to the world. No, you can't go back. They ain't going to receive you. They ain't going to trust you. They going to think you're a spy. Don't go back. Whatever you do, keep pressing. You're too good to be that bad. And this church has too much potential to be impotent, crawling alone. Man, we should be sprinting. We got some sprinters in here. We too good to be that bad. And there's nothing that stops us from getting better. Because God doesn't bless churches by the size of the building. Amen. Or the number of folk in it. No, that's not how God operates. God specializes in making small things greater. Amen. He said, don't despise small beginnings. Trust God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now. And so, God, as we stand here in this moment of prayer, we want to open the doors of the church. In fact, the doors remain open. If there's one today that has not received you, one that has not heard you call them from the grave to be loosed, come out of their grave clothes. If there's one today, Lord, that has decided, I am going to do better. If there's one today, Lord, that wants to break away from the mundane, mediocre, come into a place where their potential, promise, walk hand in hand with their purpose. And God, that you give them power to come forth into the newness of life. Save somebody today, Lord. Lord, we don't just come to be entertained. We come to be emancipated. Save us. Psalm writer declared it seemed at a time in his life that no man cared for his soul. But Lord, we know the devil is a liar. You love us too much to leave us for dead. You gave us your son. So while our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, that young man, that young woman, that mother or father, that son or daughter is making their way into the aisle. They too can be saved. Lord, you delivered us. You can deliver them. Who then can be saved? Lord, you said to the disciples when you gave them the illustration of the camel entry into heaven in the eye of the needle, they scratched their heads and they waited until a quiet moment and asked you, "Well, Lord, who can make it? That seems so impossible." And you said to them, and I'm sure, Lord, you were smiling, you said, "That which is humanly impossible is always possible with God." And Lord, a whole lot of us in this room right now are evidence, because the world said that we'd never make it. The world said we were no good. They told us that we dare not go into the church, for the walls would fall in. They told us that we would never be of use in service. But oh, look at us now. Whom the Lord has set free. And you know what, Lord, I can tell you now, just based on what we just heard in response, Lord, you got a lot of work to do to convince this people that they are free. And Lord, if we cannot celebrate the fact that we're free, then we suggest that we're in bondage. Would you loose us? And we can be free. Your word declares, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That which the Lord hath redeemed with a mighty hand, let them say so. Let them be witnesses of the first order. Let them be the testimonies that others will look and say, well, if they can be saved, so too can I. Because Lord, we heard you say you're no respecter of person. None of us were ever designed to be written off, discarded, counted for dead. Greater is he that is in me. That's what you say. Save somebody today. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. God, today we're praying for those that are sick, shut in, lifting up today a special prayer for Sister Bernice Cruz. God, you know just what she needs. And God, we who love you and love her stand in agreement and say yes. We're lifting up Sister Ozelia's family. Said goodbye to her sister. But each and every day, Lord, we're going to be standing as a family together. Keep your arms around them and don't let division come. Don't let squabbling mess up a good family. Don't let these things happen, because, Lord, we need each other, especially in the hours of bereavement and separation. We all react differently. Our emotions are all over the map. But, Lord, we need oneness with you. Praying for her family, praying for Sister Hilda Robinson. Lord, long has been the journey, but you never stepped away. You never leave her, you won't forsake her. She may not be able, Lord, to come and go as she please, but Lord, you know exactly where she is, and you know how to do it well. Praying, God, for all of our sons and our daughters, the young man at UVA, that community, our black men all over this country, our daughters, husbands and wives, families. Praying, God, that the family would be strong together. We'll teach our sons and daughters how to protect themselves, to be wise, serpents, cunning. They not become victims, but victors. You designed us to be winners. God, we're praying for this church. Those of us who love you got to love the church. So God, make Greater Brookville truly greater. Lord, I saw a vision the other night that just set my soul on fire. Church was filled to the walls. Folk were lifting up and praising your name without even being prompted to do so. They just were in love with you, shouting and praising. And God, I just believe the best is yet to come. Because Lord, you told us to look and see, to knock, and it would be answered. Ask and it would be given. Trust in the Lord, and it shall come to pass. Pray traveling mercies, Lord, for our sister from the great state of Florida, Lord. Get her home safely, doing a great work for the community, the church. So good to have a few visitors in the house today. So put your arms around them, wherever they need to be, wherever they want to go. God, give them traveling mercy and favor. And Lord, let the work that we do not be in vain. Bring you a greater glory. And God, forgive us of our sins. Have mercy on us. Help us to do better, to be better. We are better. Old things have passed away. All things are now new. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Be nice to at least four or five folk on your row, and we'll see you again on next Sunday. The Lord say the same. God bless you.